VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here today. It's a news roundup day, and we've got a ton of stories today. A lot of them are having to do with the controversies regarding COVID, the shot, censorship, those kind of issues that are going on. It seems to be the mantra in the news as to matters going on, but certainly matters that need to be addressed here on the program. And we trust that these stories today will help alert you to matters going on. And certainly to remember the calling we have to be salt and to be light, and also that of being understanding of the times in which we live. The days are urgent that are upon us here today, as will be evidenced by so many of the things we're going to be hearing today on the program. Well, there was another very tense exchange between Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci this past Tuesday. There was a Senate hearing on COVID-19. And Fauci, who is the director of National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, clashed publicly with Rand Paul for at least the third time now in recent months. And as we mentioned yesterday on the program, wanted to air the exchange that happened between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci here earlier this week. Here it is.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a five-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi, and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. Please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combined genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals but not humans to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as the Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches, these are Dr. Ebright's words, this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause. Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain, as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans, you're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
Well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Wait a minute.
If it did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
Those
viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain-of-function research was going on in that lab, and NIH funded it.
You can't
get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth.
Senator,
you are the one.
Time has expired, but I will allow the witness to
finish. Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible to result
in SARS-CoV-2.
No one's saying those viruses caused
the pandemic.
We're saying
they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual... I totally resent
that.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Well, there you have that exchange between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci as it took place this past Tuesday at a Senate hearing on COVID-19. Now, since then, Senator Paul is now wanting the Department of Justice to probe Dr. Fauci for lying to Congress. Newsmax White House correspondent Emerald Robinson tweeted out, Senator Rand Paul has announced that he's sending a criminal referral to the DOJ to investigate Dr. Fauci for a crime of lying to Congress. And he said, I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal referral because he has lied to Congress. We have scientists that were lined up by the dozens to say that the research he was funding was gain of function. On Tuesday, Paul and Fauci clashed at the Senate Health Committee hearing. CNSNews.com, President Joe Biden uttered a response to the question of a reporter asked him as he left the White House, on COVID misinformation, what's your message to platforms like Facebook? The reporter had shouted as the president was walking toward Marine One. Biden turned and walked toward the reporter. He said, they're killing people. I mean it, really. Look, only the pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated, he said, and they're killing people. At her regular briefing the day before, Jen Psaki had explained how the administration was working with social media companies, including Facebook, in the hopes of getting them to adopt what's called a robust enforcement strategy against COVID-19 misinformation. Well, the New Americans reported that a lawsuit was filed Monday of this week in U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida, and it's alleging that tech giant Facebook is colluding with the White House to censor opinions that they find problematic, especially when it comes to the COVID-19 pandemic. A large part of the suit rests upon White House Press Secretary Psaki's admission that the White House is in regular touch with social media platforms and that the government actors are flagging so-called misinformation for Facebook. when she said that they were working with big tech, then it changes everything because then it's the government censorship. So that obviously can't stand, plaintiff Richard Rogalowski told the Epoch Times. The class action suit is bought by Rogalinsky, that is, and is described as an all Facebook member users or participants who reside within the United States between January 20th, 2021 and today, and had their public statements, comments, or posts on Facebook platform censored, modified, hidden, suspended, or curtailed by the defendant. Well, Amy Klobuchar is at work. And a matter of fact, has been involved in introducing some new legislation to hold social media platforms accountable for health-related misinformation during public health emergencies, a move that could cause more censorship during crises similar to the pandemic. The Health Misinformation Act, it was introduced by Amy Klobuchar and also Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico, would amend Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, the controversial liability shield for user-generated content online. If passed, the legislation would allow social media giants like Facebook and YouTube to be sued for dangerous health misinformation on their platforms. The bill would direct the Health and Human Services Secretary to issue guidelines about what constitutes health misinformation. Aren't you just waiting for those guidelines to come out? But talking about misinformation, I wonder how many are calling out the president for misinformation that he gave at his town hall event on July 21st. That was on Wednesday night of this week, where he said you can't get COVID if you've been vaxxed. Did you hear what he had to say? Here's his statement.
The various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting because even the Washington Post is pointing it out, doing fact-checking on him in that regard. But I know he's been talking about all this vaccine hesitancy. Do you wonder where it came from? Are you wondering where it started, where it got launched? Maybe this clip will help you understand.
So let's just say there's a vaccine that is approved and even distributed before the election. Would you get it?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You're going to be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
And the question of whether it's real when it's there, that requires enormous transparency. You got to make all of it available to other experts across the nation so they can look and see. So there's consensus. This is a safe vaccine.
If the president announced tomorrow we have a vaccine, would you take it? Only if it was completely transparent that other experts in the country could look at it. Only if we knew all of what went into it.
If Donald Trump can't give answers and the administration can't give answers to these three questions, the American people should not have confidence.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Well, folks, here we have a compilation. That's where vaccine hesitancy came from. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they launched it, folks. Well, we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are spiders ever found in the fossil record?
Yes, unbelievably, Chris, they are. Not only spiders, but sometimes spider webs are found. A spider and its web was found in amber, which was dated by evolutionists at 190 million years old. Now, I don't buy the date. I think the amber was formed at the time of Noah's flood. But think how silly this makes the millions of years idea look. Spider silk is so fragile, it dehydrates and deteriorates quite quickly. Does anybody really think it's going to last for 190 million years? Chris, a better idea is out there. It's the Back to Genesis idea of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and yes, I tell you, the vaccine hesitancy, it was provoked by the statements that were made by the during the campaign by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, as they were running for office. They're the ones who started putting questions in people's minds. CNSNews.com, also covering the town hall event here from Wednesday night, indicating that President Biden said, you've got to get to the point. He said, one of the things I said when I ran for office, it's not Democrat, Republican again. It's we've got to restore faith in government. You've got to get people to the point where they trust government. That was his statement Wednesday night. LifeSiteNews.com, a physicians group saying that the home vaccine visits are unconstitutional and unethical. The story here, the Biden administration's plan to send agents door-to-door to persuade the vaccine hesitant to receive the experimental COVID-19 shots is unconstitutional and unethical, contends an association of physicians. The American Association of Physicians and Surgeons said in a statement that the federal government solicitation violates the ethical principles of protecting confidentiality and informed consent. Health professionals need a patient's implied consent even to be seen, that they may not simply show up uninvited at a stranger's door, the doctors argue. They declare that for both legal and ethical reasons, the program should be discontinued at once. Lord willing, next Thursday, Dr. Jane Orient will be joining us from this doctor's group, and we'll be sharing more information on it. For MarketWatch, Israel this week said the Delta variant is blunting the effectiveness of BioNTech and Pfizer's COVID-19 shot. Their health ministry Monday tweeted that the Pfizer vaccine is now considered 64% effective at preventing symptomatic and asymptomatic disease, and 93% effective at preventing hospitalization and death. Delta variant is rapidly becoming the most dominant form of the virus, including in the U.S., where it now is being blamed for 51% of new cases, MarketWatch is reporting. Interesting story from LifeSiteNews.com about the inventor of mRNA that is concerned by the stats suggesting that the COVID surge in the most vaccinated countries. Yeah, the inventor of the mRNA technology behind at least two of the experimental COVID-19 gene therapy vaccines expressed grave concern regarding a trend where the most vaccinated countries in the world are experiencing surges in COVID-19 cases, while the least vaccinated nations are not. This is Dr. Robert Malone, an internationally recognized scientist in the areas of virology, immunology, and molecular biology, tweeted out saying, quote, this is worrying me quite a bit. In Europe, we're seeing surges at many places where most of the population has already been vaccinated. At the same time, the 15 least vaccinated countries don't seem to face the problem. At some point, denying this problem will get painful. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the inventor of the mRNA technology that's behind at least two of the experimental shots. From townhall.com, Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva said that his department will not be enforcing the county's indoor mask mandate, which was reimposed this week after a surge in COVID-19 cases in that area. And let's see, then we're going to AOL.com, NBC News. NBC News through AOL, the American Academy of Pediatrics Monday recommended that all children over the age of two should be wearing masks when going back to school, regardless of vaccination status. The AAP, which said it's important for children to return to in-person learning this year, recommends that school staff also wear the mask. Children over the age of two going back for learning. New York Post saying that fed-up New York parents are demanding no mask in the classroom when school reopens, calling the coverings cruel, needless, and detrimental to learning, Some say they're even mulling homeschooling or private education options. From TruthUSA.us, America's Frontline Doctors, a nonprofit organization, filed a motion July 19th, that's this past Monday, seeking immediate injunctive relief to stop the emergency use authorization of COVID-19 vaccines for three groups of Americans: anyone under 18 years of age, anyone covered with recovered from COVID-19, and those who haven't received informed consent as defined by federal law. The motion was filed against Secretary of Health and Human Services Becerra and other defendants in a federal suit that was brought in the Northern District of Alabama. The emergency declaration and its multiple renewals are illegal, the complaint alleges. Todd Starnes is reporting that Pfizer, the only company with an approved COVID-19 shot here for people ages 12 through 17 in the U.S., announced in May that it requested emergency use authorization to vaccinate children under 12 that could start as early as September. But that doesn't mean that they will start immediately. According to the Daily Herald, experts need time to pore over the data upon deciding when the latest group is approved for the jab. LifeSiteNews.com. This is out of Massachusetts. A father of three young children has been denied a kidney transplant by UMass Memorial Health Center unless he agrees to take experimental COVID-19 shots before the surgery. Bernard Lapeer, who has been a type 1 diabetic since his childhood, was told in 2019 that his kidneys were failing and needed to be put on the waiting list for a transplant when he was hospitalized for a major reaction to one of the prescription drugs. Lapeer's wife, Megan, said that she has recently completed most of the tests required for donating one of her own kidneys to her husband, and so far everything looks good to allow her to be the living organ donor. The parents were reassured on at least three occasions by UMass personnel that the decision to take any vaccine was their own medical choice. UMass administration suddenly pivoted its position, however, said Megan. A nurse identified as Linda S. wrote on June 25th that Bernard had become understandably upset that morning when she told him that a patient selection committee met on June 23rd, and while we believe he is a good candidate for transplant, we want him to have the vaccinations recommended. That would be things like Hep A, Hep B, Prevnar, the pneumonia vax. And then on July 7th, another progress note written by infectious diseases specialist Mary Dawn T., said that the that Bernard would also need to be required to take the COVID shots. Right now, being refused the needed kidney transplant, unless he complies. Okay, from CNN, yeah, in the sports world, we just had the repeat program with Duke Pasta and the wokeness in sports. Well, if an NFL league team cannot be rescheduled and is canceled due to COVID-19 outbreak among unvaccinated players, that team will have to forfeit and will be credited with the loss, the NFL said in a league-wide memo obtained by CNN. The new rule makes being unvaccinated a competitive disadvantage this year, all part of the league's push to get players and staff inoculated ahead of the season. NFL also said that any team that vaccinates 85% of its players and staff can relax their safety protocols and has applied loser rules to unvaccinated players. In addition, if a game is postponed and cannot be rescheduled, players from both teams will not receive their scheduled salary. The memo also states that the team with the outbreak will be responsible for any additional expenses incurred by the opposing team. Okay, yeah, there's mass protests going on in Greece and France right now opposing the COVID-19 jab mandates and health passports. Won't have time to get into it. As to the group of Democrats that fled their responsibilities on the House floor in Texas, well, according to news reports, Beto O'Rourke has raised some $600,000 for them. A fundraising goal has been put in for $1.5 million. And several of them have come down with COVID, tested positive for COVID. And also, the Federalist reporting that vaccinated aides for both Speaker Pelosi and President Joe Biden reportedly tested positive for COVID on Tuesday after attending a rooftop reception with the Texas Democrats. Tested positive, and they have been said to have been fully vaccinated. As we are coming to news out of Michigan from lifenews.com, Michigan State Legislature has officially voted to repeal the emergency powers declaration pro-abortion Governor Gretchen Whitmer used to force COVID lockdowns on the state that closed churches but left abortion clinics open. The vote was 60-48 to repeal the Emergency Powers Act. In other issues here, the United States Senate this week has confirmed two historic LGBTQ presidential nominees by unanimous consent. Gina Ortiz Jones, confirmed for Undersecretary of the Air Force, will be the first out lesbian to serve as Undersecretary of a military branch. Sean Skelly, confirmed also as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Readiness, will be the highest ranking out transgender defense official in U.S. history. Jones and Skelly are two of more than 200 LGBTQ political appointees to the administration of President Joe Biden, including at least 12 currently serving in the Department of Defense. NBC News telling us Governor Gavin Newsom has approved a final state budget on Monday that includes $3 million for LGBTQ cultural competency training for public school teachers. That makes the state the first in the country to allocate funding in this specific way. The funding would allow the California Department of Education to develop a curriculum aimed at helping teachers support LGBTQ students. U.S. women's soccer team took a stunning loss after embarrassing their nation by kneeling at the Olympic opener for Black Lives Matter. U.S. women's soccer team took this devastating 3-0 loss to Sweden early Wednesday morning in the Tokyo Olympic opener, breaking their 44-game winning streak. All 22 players on Team USA took a knee in solidarity with the radical leftist group Black Lives Matter before the game, a major point of contention with fans in the United States. U.S. came into the Tokyo Games with the number one ranking in the world. Sweden is ranked fifth. The U.S. lost to Sweden in that game. University of Wisconsin to start an LGBTQ plus fellowship program for doctors. Yeah, the UW School of Medicine and Public Health has been selected as the first site of the national LGBTQ plus fellowship programs to train early career doctors to understand and respond to the needs of LGBTQ plus patients. From Washington Times, a federal judge has blocked a West Virginia law banning transgender athletes from competing in girls' sports, saying the legislation likely runs afoul of the Constitution. Judge Joseph Goodwin, a Clinton appointee, said if West Virginia wants to treat people differently, there must be a compelling reason to do so. Well, folks, they're treating people differently by allowing biological boys to identify as girls to play on girls' sports teams. Also, the Christian Post is saying that a judge has ruled against a group of churches, schools, and a pro-life pregnancy center challenging a Virginia law that adds sexual orientation and gender identity to the state anti-discrimination laws. Judge James Plowman Jr. issued a ruling from the bench in favor of the Virginia Values Act passed by the Democrat-controlled state government in 2020 and rejects the church's challenge to the LGBT anti-discrimination law in the state of Virginia. On the other hand, as reported by the Daily Wire, a California appellate court last week ruled that a provision in a state law passed 4 years ago mandating certain healthcare workers use transgender pronouns is a violation of free speech protected by the First Amendment. California's Third District Court of Appeals upended the Senate Bill 219, which in part forced nursing home workers to use preferred transgender pronouns and names for patients. And the court now saying that's a violation of free speech. We have a few more issues we'd like to cover after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. Have a few more, have varied number of issues to share with you. By the way, if you're in the city of Milwaukee, there was an alert that came forth in regard to the Milwaukee, Wisconsin Common Council, who are going to be voting this coming Tuesday on the creation of a universal basic income program, allocating some $400,000 for startup costs for this, like staffing and initial program costs. But they're basing it on the Stockton, California model that is Stockton, California. We looked at that, randomly selecting residents to get $500 a month for 2 years, no strings attached. And this is an ordinance that's been drafted by Shantia Lewis, who is seeking to replace Ron Johnson as a U.S. senator. And Milwaukee Common Council to vote on this coming Tuesday, July the 27th. From Breitbart.com. During his Wednesday night town hall, President Biden talked about a push to eliminate 9mm pistols that have an ammunition capacity beyond that which which the left approves. He said this, quote, "The idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous. I'm continuing to push to eliminate the sale of those things." Coming to us from the Washington Times, the Biden Justice Department deployed gun trafficking strike forces to Washington and four other major cities this week as part of a push to combat a recent national surge in violent crime. Attorney General Merrick Garland visited Chicago Thursday to launch that city's administration-backed strike forces. Units will also be sent to New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Why weren't they sent to Portland? Why weren't they sent to Minneapolis? Saying leveraging existing resources, the regional strike forces will better ensure sustained and focused coordination among jurisdictions and help stem the supply of illegally trafficked firearms from source cities to other communities and into five key market regions, they said in their press release. This is including officials from the BATF in that regard. From townhall.com, the headline, the FBI might have another public relations disaster over the latest development in Governor Whitmer's kidnapping plot. You remember that plot against her during the pandemic? A federal grand jury has charged six men with conspiring to kidnap Governor Whitmer in what investigators say was a plot by anti-government extremists who were angry over her coronavirus policies. Well, the six were arrested in early October, followed by an FBI investigation into an alleged plot to kidnap the Democratic governor at her vacation home in northern Michigan. But it gets worse because the confidential informants that the FBI used were the ones who hatched the plot to begin with. So in a direct way, the FBI was involved in the kidnapping of a sitting governor. The FBI foiled a plot to kidnap Whitmer that was hatched by the FBI's own informants. The government has documented at least 12 confidential informants who assisted the sprawling investigation. Townhall.com as well. Judge Andrew Hanen of the Southern District of Texas issued a decision which will block the Department of Homeland Security from approving new DACA applications. The decision found that President Obama illegally exceeded his executive authority in 2012 when his administration created the DACA program. From the Daily Torch, shock spending. President Biden is paying contractors $3 million a day not to build the border wall. You know the executive order that came down. Well, Senator James Lankford on the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Subcommittee released what he called a blistering report showing so far taxpayers have paid defense contractors $2 billion not to work. Fox Business, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senate Finance Chairman Ron Wyden, and Senator Cory Booker have introduced a discussion draft on Wednesday for the Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act, which aims to legalize marijuana at the federal level. This is monumental because at long last we are taking steps in the Senate to right the wrongs of the failed war on drugs, Schumer said at a press conference. The war on drugs has really been a war on people, particularly people of color. Interesting sidelight in all of that. Unveiling a plan to legalize marijuana because they say that that it's been a war on people, particularly those of color. Arizona is on track to exceed Colorado in cannabis, with total annual sales expected to pass the $1 billion mark by the end of 2021. Based on monthly sales of $117 million to $123 million over the past 3 months, the state has the potential to pass $1 billion in total marijuana sales by the end of 2021. Colorado only had $684 million in total marijuana sales in its first year of full legalization back in 2014. It's looking like Arizona will be surpassing that. The Minneapolis City Council, according to CBS WCCO out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, is reporting that the city council committee there is okayed a measure to put replacing the Minneapolis Police Department on the November ballot. Yes, the Minneapolis City Council one step closer to getting a measure on the November ballot that would do away with the Minneapolis Police Department. The ballot measure would replace police with a public safety department. The language would replace the Minneapolis Police Department with the Department of Public Safety that employs a comprehensive public health approach and would include police if necessary. And by the way, Western Journal is reporting that George Soros has been a major donor behind the Defund the Police movement. Any surprises there? Well, here is a surprise, but it shouldn't be a surprise. A Texas judge, activist mommy puts this out, a Texas judge has ruled that a Muslim woman seeking a divorce from her husband must seek to have the matter settled in an Islamic court in what attorneys are calling a highly unusual move. The Blaze reported that the Collin County District Judge Andrea Thompson ruled that the woman be sent to go before a panel in March, which considers her testimony to have half the weight of her husband's, despite her attorneys arguing that this is completely unconstitutional. Sharia courts, haven't we been warned about that from Usama Dakdak and from Sharam Hadian? From JustTheNews.com, federal border agents last month arrested or denied entrance to over 188,000 immigrants, the highest monthly total at the southern U.S. border in roughly a decade, according to a news report. Western Journal reporting that the Biden administration has warned immigration agents to prepare for hundreds of thousands of migrant families and asylum claims, according to a new report. Border patrol agents, immigration and customs enforcement agents, and customs officers are stretched thin trying to protect and secure our border, said an official to the Washington Free Beacon. Asking them to process roughly 6,000 people a week will undoubtedly strain already thin resources and increase human trafficking and drug smuggling. The warning comes with the Biden administration's plan to end Title 42, a provision that allows the U.S. to turn away illegal immigrants at the nation's southern border due to the risk of their spreading COVID-19. And speaking of COVID, Fox News reporting that the number of detainees who tested positive for COVID-19 in the Rio Grande Valley sector alone has increased by 900%. 900%. There were 135 detainees who tested positive in the first 2 weeks of July alone, marking a 900% increase in confirmed positive cases. This sector is one of the main destinations for migrants crossing the border, seeing more than 2,000 apprehensions each day and accounting for 60% of confined positive detainees in the U.S. Border Patrol custody. But on Wednesday, the Biden administration announced that they would be extending restrictions on travel from the U.S. to Canada and to Mexico because of the Delta variant. Well, it's interesting, to decrease the spread of COVID-19, including the Delta, DHS announced the U.S. is extending restrictions on non-essential travel in our land and ferry crossings with Canada and Mexico through August 21. Meanwhile, anyone can cross the southern border, whether infected or not, if they do so illegally, as reported just letting hundreds walk in at a time, with those infected up to 900% in just the past couple of weeks. We're not going to allow you to travel to these countries, but if you get here illegally, that is just fine. By the way, the Biden administration Monday moved its first detainee from Gitmo, sending a man back to Morocco, leaving 39 prisoners left at the prison. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Let's see, LifeSiteNews.com, Senate Democrats move to force women to register for the draft. A rewriting of current military draft laws would require selective service registration for all Americans, forcing men and women between the ages of 18 and 26 to register for the draft or face penalties, including fines and imprisonments. Ben and Jerry's stopping their sale of their ice cream product in the what they call the occupied territories. Well, there's a number of states that are moving in on them right now, launching investigation if they need to do a boycott themselves of Ben and Jerry's. Interesting indeed. Well, I've got more news stories, but we've also got callers lined up on the phone, so we'll get to your calls here today. We're going to begin with Russell in St. Mary's, West Virginia. You're on the air, Russell.
Yeah, I'd like to say, if you are a citizen of the United States of America and you trust the government of the United States of America, well, I'd like to sell you a bridge.
Okay. You've made your point. Thank you. Let's go to Melissa next in Milwaukee. Melissa, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to know what would be the outcome if we took hundreds of people and PCR tested them for, say, influenza A or influenza B. I believe, being in healthcare and studying virology, we would find everyone to be positive if we amplify the test enough, and yet we don't spread that virus without symptoms and close contact and lingering contact. Now, as far as I can tell, COVID virus is not a super virus. It doesn't have powers that a flu virus doesn't have, or Epstein-Barr, which causes mono. I don't understand the whole PCR testing to begin with.
Hmm. Thank you, Melissa, for raising that issue here. Lord willing, next Thursday, we will have a medical doctor on with us. And I know this has been the whole PCR test been called into question all throughout this this process here. And how all of a sudden, how did the flu just completely vanish last year?
Yeah. And would people understand that COVID is not a super virus with superhuman powers? It's just like the flu. If you test all of us for the flu, we've all been exposed, we'll all test positive. It doesn't mean we have symptoms, and it doesn't mean there's a pandemic. Just because you have PCR testing at high rates does not mean there is a pandemic.
Thank you, Melissa.
These viruses get transported via respiratory lingering contact.
Appreciate your call here. Let's go to Jim. We're going to try and squeeze you in before the break. Jim in Dallas, Wisconsin.
Yes, yes, I would just like to make light of the fact that these border crossings, these illegal immigrants, that the Democrats are registering them as voters, and then the next election cycle they're going to ram their votes through, and it's going to be game over for the Republican Party if they don't put a stop to this somehow.
Okay, thank you, Jim, for your observation there, and a lot of concern as to what is the motive, what is the reasoning for the open borders there. And you hit on one of the key issues that many have raised that very matter, to build up a particular voting bloc here in the nation. We'll be back with more of your calls. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, the Rockefeller Foundation, they're at it again. This is an organization that I have documented for years has been proponents of eugenics. And even according to numerous reports, we're working inside the Hitler regime with some of their camps. The Rockefeller Foundation is now going to work with the U.S. Surgeon General under the Biden regime to well, deal with what they believe is vaccine misinformation. Again, this is psychological projection, putting on to their enemies what they actually do. The misinformation about the vaccine starts with the word vaccine. This COVID-19 emergency order doesn't even meet the legal definition of a vaccine. And as of today, we have over 11,000 Americans dead, according to the government's own VAERS reporting system. Who's putting out the misinformation? The Surgeon General, the government, or people like me?
You know, there's a lot going on also in election news. You mean in the wake of the Maricopa County audit of the 2020 elections, there's one GOP Arizona state senator demanding that the state's electors that went for President Joe Biden be recalled and a new election be conducted in the state. That's his perspective. You find that column there on Western Journal. And also, we understand that in the audit in Arizona, wrong paper used for the ballots could confirm Sharpiegate. According to the Arizona Senate president, that's another interesting thing that has been watched as well. And also Pamela Geller reporting the story about how even a Wisconsin lawmaker now calling for a full forensic audit after Georgia and Arizona have updated and found some goings on there. So very interesting indeed. Let's go back to the lines. Lynette is calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking the call. Thank you for what you do every day for us. So when you go into Walmart, for example, I guess my question is this. They're prepping us, these big box stores, they're prepping us for the vaccine passport, especially in liberal states. I don't know if you're seeing it in more conservative states, but here in Wisconsin, they're prepping us because it says that fully vaccinated people do not need to wear a mask, and according to CDC regulations, they are advising the people that have not been vaccinated to wear a mask. So when the so-called Delta variant, which is probably caused by vaccinated people who are shooting off the spike protein and they're getting sick because of their own, the own vaccination that they've taken, so when winter comes and people are dying left and right and the media is just blowing this up out of proportion, I believe then that will be the time when they try to mandate, the liberal governors try to mandate this vaccine passport. My question is, besides praying, obviously prayer is something we always underestimate because we're lazy and we don't like to get on our knees and pray. But I'm just wondering, being proactive in anticipating this, you know, at some point they'll probably require a vaccine passport to get into stores like Walmart and grocery stores that are liberal, so forth. I'm wondering if there's any things we can do, because there's a lot more people that are not vaccinated than the country realizes. And I'm just wondering if there's anything we can brainstorm to think of doing. You know, there's always protest at some point, but I'm just wondering if anybody has any thoughts in regards to, because it's real obvious where the rhetoric is, sure, is leading us.
You know, Lynette, we had just recently interviewed Matt Staver from Liberty Council here on the program, and they have got quite an extensive website. And matter of fact, they have a section there for people to take action now in regard to the vaccine passports that you were just mentioning about. And they're calling upon people, and they've got it organized through their website to contact members of Congress and governors to be contacting them now with no mandatory COVID injections and no vaccine passports, no tracking apps, etc. And it's right at the top of their page. It's lc.org/vaccine.
And I am very familiar with that, Jim, and I appreciate it. I have a little hesitancy in calling because I feel, and I know that's what we need to do, mm-hmm, but can you understand why it's like, because as soon as you do that and you contact, for example, a liberal, or a liberal Congress or senator, we're already blackballed anyway. Facebook is tracking us. Everybody is known, you know, really. So maybe it doesn't matter, but maybe that is the thing to do. Ultimately, maybe that's our greatest power. It's just and I know God is in control. Mm-hmm. It's just you want to open up people's minds, and I try to tell them to listen to your station, from 1 to 3:15 every day so they get in Brandon House's Worldview Weekend and your program, Crosstalk, and Matt Staver's Liberty Council. I try to tell them, oh, it's like we need to spread the word because people are so ignorant. Father God, please wake this nation up and cause a revival if it's your will.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you for the call, Lynette. And I know that there are groups like Liberty Council. They're just as they fought on the behalf of churches when these mandates were put in place to shut churches down, and they've won so many of these cases now. It's taken a while, but to see the winnings that have taken place, they're going to be advocating in this regard as well.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for the call. Mike is next in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi there. Yeah, I'm a U.S. Navy veteran. 43 years ago, July of 78, I was in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Did not let us off the base, of course. Castro was still around. I'm concerned about the number of naive Americans who think that the guy who's recently released back to Morocco is somehow harmless and has been punished enough. The guys that are held there are really the scum of the earth. They're subhuman. These are the ones who hatched the 9/11 plot that slaughtered nearly 3,000 innocent people on our soil. And people seem to think that, oh, they've done enough time. They've punished them enough. Let's send them back as if they are American criminals. A, they're not Americans. B, they don't have rights. If we're not going to, put them in front of a firing squad, they should not be released back into the free world.
And Mike, I know the concern by many is they're going to go right back and get right back into the hatching of additional plots.
Exactly. And there's so many people here in the States who are so naive, they wouldn't mind it. They've been brainwashed enough against being patriotic, and now we're supposed to sit back and twiddle our thumbs and think it's okay to release them back into the world.
Mike, thank you.
It's not okay.
Thank you for your call. Thank you also for your service.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Alan, Bridgeport, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for taking my call. I just wanted to, Sister Annette, I liked her message. That was pretty good. But listen, the coronavirus has been here for years. You can look on any Lysol can from way back and say coronavirus is right on it. And, what it is, I haven't been vaccinated. My mother has. My children have. No side effects, thank the Lord for that. But I'm still worried about my wife and I to go get the shot. I mean, I'm not going to call it a vaccine because I don't think that's what it is. But just a little bit concerned. I listen to your show every day, and, everybody's given me some great information. And I don't think I'm going to get it, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Al, for your thoughts here today. And wow, I'm sorry to other callers. We're 5 seconds away from having to close out here today on the program. Folks, the News Roundup Day here today. Folks, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. So critically important in such a time as this. By the way, just a good news story out of Kentucky as well, where the governor there signed a bill allowing parents who feel compelled to give up their newborn to do so, and saw the little one was saved through the state's first box. What a joy. Well, it is Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.